Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Tennessee punching their ticket to the Sweet 16 over the weekend. They'll be matched up against Kentucky, which is going to be a heck of a week between Tennessee fans and Kentucky fans sniping back and forth at each other. To help us talk more about all that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome to the program our friend Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just wrestled with a car seat. Other than that, I'm doing well.
I know how that is, my man. They make these car seats just unbelievably complicated nowadays. There's all these straps and holes and everything that you got to figure out. It's ridiculous.
And you look up the YouTube video on how to do it, and it solves it in like 5 seconds.
It makes you just feel like a complete moron after it's done, too. Oh, yeah. Done that many times.
Yeah, that's
I never had that issue.
I got an email from Ben. I got an email from Amazon the other day that the car seat that we've recently ordered for my kid just got recalled. There's a recall on it, so got to go find another one now.
It sounds about right. And did they make car seats when Joe was coming up?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Joe, do you know what we're speaking of?
Well, I mean, we had seat belts, and then, you know, basically I'd roll down the window for the cigarette smoke to leave the car. It was fine. They were fine.
Very well done. So, Ben, obviously a fun weekend to be a Vols fan with Tennessee punching their ticket to the Sweet 16, and then on the women's side, Kim Caldwell doing the same thing. Let's start with Rick Barnes and company here. Just their performance in the tournament to this point, including a particularly dominant second half there against UCLA. What have you made of Tennessee's path to this point to punch their ticket to yet another Sweet 16?
That they're a true Final Four contender. I guess that was maybe the notion going in, but you never really know with Tennessee basketball heading into the NCAA tournament. There's a long, long list of letdowns that my colleagues were even going through last night in the group chat, and some that you just forget about going back to the late 90s and early 2000s. So you never really know with Tennessee basketball until it actually happens. You got to put your cup on if you're a Tennessee fan for the NCAA tournament. And I think this weekend maybe encourages you to believe in this Tennessee basketball team if you're a Tennessee fan, because they were flat right dominant against Wofford and against UCLA. Obviously, they handled Wofford the way that they should. And then UCLA, it was a first half in which adjustments were needed to be made. And I thought once Tennessee kind of got a feel for what UCLA was doing and navigated those early rounds of the boxing match, I thought they made the proper adjustments and really swarmed UCLA on both sides of the basketball. And when you're playing a 7 seed and a 15 seed and you're a 2 seed and you've beaten Auburn, you've beaten Florida, Alabama, all these other teams that are also worthy of a Final Four, that's how you should play against your opponent. So just the fact that we actually saw it with our eyeballs come to fruition, and it just reinforced the fact, to me at least, that Tennessee is a Final Four contender. And I think, to get more specific, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with how Chaz Lanier has elevated his play at the best time of year.
No doubt. And Ben, I've crunched some numbers in case you haven't done these yet. And I know you're going to spend a lot of this week talking about those two games, but you mentioned Chaz Lanier, who was incredible in those two games at Rupp. He went there earlier this year, of course, was 0-7. So Lanier, Ziegler, Ganey in those two games, Lanier 3-17 from three, Ganey 2-12 from three, Ziegler 1-13 from three, 6-42 for those three guards in the two Kentucky games. That's 14.3%. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know, well, there you go, you can just write them into the Elite Eight. But I will say, I don't expect that to happen again. First of all, when you look back at those two games, what else stands out in terms of, you know, what may need to change? That's a huge one. And do you feel like with those three guys shooting the way they are now, that just takes this team to another level?
Yes, absolutely. Because what are the numbers of what Tennessee's guards did combined this past weekend against Wofford and against UCLA? The numbers are vastly, vastly different. And Chaz Lanier is a different basketball player today than he was during those first two matchups. He has elevated his game the last month and a half, really since that I thought the turning point for Chaz was that Oklahoma game, which I believe was the Saturday before the trip to Rupp. He was impacting the game in more ways than just shooting the basketball. He was rebounding. He was facilitating for his teammates, not to the extent that Zakai Ziegler or Jordan Ganey does, but some of his assist numbers were kind of silly in comparison. Like, I think early on in SEC play, there's a point in time in which Bishop Boswell had as many assists or more assists than Chaz. And that's not the case anymore. Of course, he's not dishing out 7 to 10 a game, but it's like two or three here and there, and he's grabbing 5 rebounds. He's coming up with 2 steals. He's blocking a shot. He's moving better without the basketball. He's not allowing defenses to just consume him. And when they don't give him any breathing room, he just kind of went into a shell. And now he's fighting through these tight defenses and whatnot and finding ways to thrive and still get his shots off and make the shots, most importantly. So I just think Chaz Lanier is a totally different basketball player than he was, especially that first matchup in Knoxville. And then the one in Rupp, I thought, again, that Saturday against Oklahoma, he had a really good performance in Norman where he could not miss in the first half, if I remember correctly. But it wasn't the shooting. It was how he was impacting the game in so many different ways. And you kind of saw that in Rupp as well, even though he had a bad shooting night, as you pointed out, there were still some other things that he was doing to help Tennessee. And it's just been a continual process of growing in terms of being able to affect the basketball game in more areas than just shooting the basketball. So I think Tennessee's guard play is in a much better spot going into this matchup with Kentucky. Zakai Ziegler, that first matchup against Kentucky, that was the game in which he tweaked his knee at the end of the first half, and he did come back and play in the second half, but he did not look like Zakai Ziegler, and I feel like that was a product of the knee. Jordan Ganey's playing the best basketball of his career, I feel like, right now, especially with what he did in Nashville at the SEC tournament. So I just feel like Tennessee's guard play, Jemai Meshack, maybe finding a spot offensively to where he can provide a little bit more than he has up until this point in the season. So the guard play is, I mean, I think that's what's going to win the game for Tennessee. Tennessee did have some issues with their big men. There's no doubt about that they'll need to correct as well. They can't allow as many open threes as they allowed the first couple of games. But the guard play, to me, is what will dictate whether Tennessee wins or not. If it's the guard play that you saw in those first two Kentucky matchups, Tennessee's season ends on Friday night. If it's the guard play that we saw in Nashville and in Lexington this past weekend, I think Tennessee's going to the Elite Eight.
So, Ben, as you're watching this team right now, where do you think Igor Milicic is with his game, and how important is he going to be in determining whether or not this is a team that can break down the door and get to the Final Four?
Yeah, he's really important. I don't know that Tennessee needs him to go score 20 a game with Chaz and Ganey elevating their game of late. But he is somebody, like you saw against UCLA, Tennessee really needed him on the boards, and he delivered. And all the assistant coaches in the locker room after the game and his teammates talked about how going into that matchup, they challenged him and really, really emphasized that, hey, we need you on the glass. If not, we're going to have a hard time winning against this big fellow from Spain who stands at 7'3". And, you know, Igor didn't have the flashiest stat line in the box score. I believe he finished with 7 rebounds or so. But those rebounds were critical. And teaming up with Kate Phillips and Felix Akpara attacking the glass, they were able to win the battle of the boards. And that was a huge difference in the basketball game. Mick Cronin talked about it afterwards. Rick Barnes talked about it. So I feel the same way about Igor that I do Chaz, especially late January when it was clear that Chaz was still trying to adjust to SEC play. He needed to become more than just a shooter. I think Igor needs to fall in love with that idea as well, that, okay, I can help my team more than just scoring 15 to 20 points a game like we have seen him do at times. If I'm playing solid defense, if I'm rebounding the basketball, if I'm being physical, then that is helping my team win, and the offense will kind of take care of itself. The shots will take care of itself, and he should find comfort in knowing that there's not pressure on him to make shots when Chaz and Ganey and Zakai are making shots like they are. So I think the key for Igor, and I thought he did a better job of this past weekend than he did in Nashville when he really struggled, of just finding other ways to impact the basketball game, and I think that's helping him open up his overall game a bit more.
Yeah, no, I thought he was just the way he fought for some of those rebounds was a big deal in that game. 20 boards between those three guys, that you'll take that for sure. So you mentioned, the bigs, Ben, matching up. Kobe Brea got loose in both games and got some good looks. So Amari Williams obviously is, he's a really like their half-court catalyst in a lot of cases for that five-out offense. What is the what's the best matchup for him? I know Okparo's probably going to have to guard him a fair amount, but is Cade Phillips a guy who, can go out there and you think, give him a different look and maybe make things a little more difficult on him?
Yeah, I think that's a great point that I actually was not thinking about. I was thinking Igor Milicic when you first started asking the question, and then you bring up Cade, and I immediately go back to early in the season. I think it was during non-conference play. It might have been early in SEC play. Rick Barnes talked about how they think Cade Phillips can be the next Jemai Meshack. Maybe not in terms of being a finalist for Naismith Defensive Player of the Year, but in terms of the versatility and really being a lockdown defender, of being able to defend the four, the five, and then being able to step out on the perimeter and guard a guard or a wing. So I think that's a great thought and a great possibility, because they're going to have to slow him down. You go back and look at Amari Williams' stat line in Knoxville, and it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, he had 15 points. I think it was 9 rebounds and a season-high 5 assists. And you mentioned that Kentucky made some tweaks with its offense with him kind of bringing the ball down the basketball floor. And that gave Tennessee a lot of issues defensively that we haven't really seen this season. So what adjustments is Tennessee going to make? I don't think Felix Okparo is the answer. As you were talking, I had flashbacks to him trying to defend Jamin Brakefield in Oxford on the perimeter and it not going well for him. I don't know that Felix does great out in the open floor. And then maybe that was just a bad night for him. But I do think he's better the closer you are to the rim. But Cade Phillips and Igor Milicic, I think in defending Ansley Almanor and Amari Williams, who can, they're not your typical stretch four or stretch five, but they're also not your traditional big man in which they're just camped out under the basket. They're going to bring your post players further away from the basket, or at least they're able to. So I think it's going to fall on the shoulders of Cade Phillips and Igor Milicic Jr. to step out there and defend and be physical with those guys. I think they have the body types to do so, and they're going to have to, because, again, Ansley Almanor and Amari Williams, a lot of talk about the guard play, rightfully so, as we've already discussed, but those big men for Kentucky were a problem for Tennessee as well.
Well, Ben, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. It's going to be fun in the lead-up to Tennessee and Kentucky this week. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great week.
You as well. Ben McKee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from Go Vols 24/7. Going to be a lot of chatter between now and Friday about Tennessee and Kentucky coming up. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.